Every week we speak about arts and crafts on Artworks. This week we'll revisit those topics, this time with a capital A and C. The arts and crafts movement in design originated in England as a rejection of the profit-based industrialization that was overtaking the manufacture of goods in the mid-19th century. The movement prizing handcraft and the human spirit eventually made it to Indiana. An exhibition examining the Midwestern branch of arts and crafts is currently on view at a place where the movement's spirit was readily evident. WFIU's Yael Cassander reports.
Though the arts and crafts movement may have flourished in the U.S. over 100 years ago, realtors and interior decorators are still gaga about it. Arts and crafts' elegant marriage of form and function never seems to go out of style. The very prospect that you could be in possession of a stickly chair is enough to get some people to turn the furniture upside down.
It doesn't have a mark underneath.
Arts program developer at the T.C. Steele Historic Site in Brown County, Christine Atkinson has paused before a wooden chair whose back and seat are upholstered in leather and finished with brass studs.
We're still doing some more research on the provenance for this specific piece. But we recently had someone here giving a lecture, and they really felt strongly that it was. So we're going to do some more research and digging and see what we can find out. But definitely excited if it really is one of Stickley's earliest pieces.
One of the largest purveyors of craftsman-style furniture in the U.S. in the early 20th century, the Gustav Stickley Company of Syracuse, New York, produced pieces that are highly collectible today. Stickley or not, the chair in question belonged to famed Indiana painter T.C. Steele and is currently on display at the place he called home for the last two decades of his life.
Welcome to the House of the Singing Winds.
Andrea Detarnowski manages this historic house museum. The Brown County Hilltop Home is the site of an exhibition in three rotations, Arts and Crafts Moments, Simplicity and Design, showcasing regional ceramics, furniture, book design, metalwork, and textiles created in the spirit of the arts and crafts movement, which began in England in the mid-1800s.
The arts and crafts movement was started by socialists and revolutionary William Morris. They were starting to see industrialization becoming more and more and taking away from the skilled tradesmen. They didn't want to lose the human aspect of it.
The movement came stateside later in the 19th century, reaching Indiana by the 1890s.
And the Steeles were definitely part of that. They were followers of the arts and crafts movement. There were a number of societies that were formed here in Indiana, and the Steeles had deliberate choices that they made in decorating their home and even in the architectural elements of the home.
Construction of the House of the Singing Winds began in 1907, when Steele was at the height of his professional life, winning awards in expositions from Chicago to Paris, being featured in national art periodicals, and painting portraits of every governor and university president in Indiana. Having recently been widowed, he left his painting headquarters in Brookville, Indiana, for the Brown County Hills, where he was overseeing construction of the home to which he would bring his new bride, Selma. When you get up close to the house on the hill, you realize it's not a grand residence at all.
You know, you think of this illustrious painter with this great reputation, and then you come to his house and it's a simple arts and crafts bungalow.
Steele wasn't really sure whether it was a bungalow or not. When he was constructing it, he made a little sketch and sent it with a letter to his soon-to-be bride, and he asked her, "Is this a bungalow?" But he was laying it out to suit their practical needs. It wasn't a show place.
The same goes for the objects the Steeles collected, many of which are on display in this first installment of Arts and Crafts Moments.
These things weren't just collected to look at. They were collected to be used and to be part of their everyday lives.
The Steeles ceramics are the jewel of the exhibition, including valuable pieces from the Overbeck sisters' cottage operation in Cambridge City, rare student-made vessels from Shortridge High School, and Brown County pottery, whose materials were sourced extremely nearby.
Straight from the earth, from the ground, the Brown County pottery would use clay dug out from the Salt Creek.
The Steeles also acquired a number of beautifully glazed vases and bowls from Rookwood pottery. Steele praised the Cincinnati firm in his 1910 essay, The Mark of the Tool.
"It is to the great credit of the Rookwood pottery that they encourage above all things this individuality of expression. They work in the spirit of the old craftsmen, and the artistic results justify their departure from commercial methods."
One of the Rookwood vases on display reappears in a still life with irises. The same goes for a stuffed peacock on a perch in front of the home's north windows, which shows up in another painting.
And that was what he most enjoyed, is painting the things around him every day.
Yeah. They were collecting these fine things, not so much as signs of wealth or conspicuous consumption, but it was part of creating an artistic atmosphere for themselves.
Exactly. A collection of things that they knew they would be comfortable with, that they admired and wanted to be part of their lives.
Source of inspiration.
Mm-hmm. A special place in their home.
And that's an aspect of the arts and crafts movement, is that your home is also an inspiration to you, no matter, you know, if you were an artist or if you weren't. So these were deliberate choices that they made.
The array of choices the Steels made for their poetically named house includes a hand-textured copper wall sconce, a fragile stickly lampshade, and a well-used supply cabinet whose attractive joinery clearly distinguishes it as a craftsman piece.
This historic photograph, which was taken about 1917, shows that cabinet sitting right where it is today, with it cubbyholes all filled with his painting supplies and little boxes. And
we can see that he wasn't precious with it.
So you could still see remnants of the paint today.
He used that piece.
Yeah, these pieces weren't just for show. They were of practical purpose and were used every day.
So maybe even more than in some ironclad adherence to what we think of as the craftsman's style in the objects they collected and the way they decorated, the Steels manifested their commitment to the ideals of the arts and crafts movement in their insistence on the livability of their home and their things. Pieces were chosen because they caught the eye, were familiar, or were practical. Take, for example, the factory-issue chandeliers, straight out of the 1912 Montgomery Ward catalog, or Selma Steele's red velvet settee, or her Rococo vases, which are also on display.
People today putting together what you might call an arts and crafts interior, they often tend to be purists. They have to have all arts and crafts. That wasn't the case during the actual arts and crafts period. Even serious collectors, they were mixing all kinds of things together. They didn't discard their Victorian chairs just to put a stickly chair in there. They would often be mixed in together to create a more eclectic look.
Ultimately, lifestyle prevailed over stuff. Steele took this arts and crafts credo so seriously, he had it etched into the hearthstone in his studio.
It's actually a quotation from one of his guest lectures. "It has seemed to me that the greatest of all arts is the art of living."
For WFIU, I'm Yael Cassander.
Arts and Crafts Moments, Simplicity and Design continues at the T.C. Steele Historic Site through March 30th of 2012. The first rotation of the show highlighting the Steele's collection continues through April the 30th. Subsequent rotations also at the T.C. Steele site will showcase arts and crafts pieces from the Indiana State Museum and finally objects from private collections. See our website for photos and more, wfiu.org/artworks.